lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And so she was basically going to cleave to Naomi. She was not going to leave her side because she had committed in her heart that she was going to follow after the God that was Naomi's God. And you know, Ruth stood the test, and all the obstacles were removed out of her way. Okay, keep in mind that Ruth is a Moabitess. She's a stranger in this newfound land, which is Bethlehem, okay? And it begins there during the barley harvest. So they're getting ready to harvest of the grain there and the barley harvest. And remember, Naomi is a widow now, but she has a relative or kinsman named Boaz. So let's go to Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, and Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, and I just want to kind of give a little bit of information, too, about harvest. Because when you harvest a crop, I don't know if Sister Angie remembered, but I remember one time there was a farmer that he had a bunch of tomatoes, and they went in and they picked all the tomatoes, and they left a whole bunch of tomatoes, and we went in after them, and we picked all these tomatoes, and then we ended up canning them, and praise God. So we were gleaning. That's what you call gleaning of the harvest, because we glean, we take over the leftovers. It's kind of like the leftovers. So that, and there's also, and you don't need to go there right now, but there are many laws back in the Israelite in their history that in Deuteronomy, you can write this down, Deuteronomy 24:19, that it says, when the reapers are reaping and they drop some of the grain or whatever it is, the crop, they are not to go back and pick it up. They're to let it stay, and it's for the poor and the widow and those that are in need. So this is what, you know, they were supposed to do. So let's go now to Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn or grain after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Okay, so Ruth asked, she goes, let me go. She was asking permission of Ruth to go and to glean in the fields. So that's one of the things of, she was a very humble and submissive, and so that's really important for us to know, because it's also, Ruth is a type of the bride of Christ, and Boaz is the type of a Christ, okay? So anyway, so she asks, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I shall find grace. Now, and she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now, she did not say, she didn't know where she was going. She's a grown woman. She could make her own decisions, of course, but she wanted permission. So she just went to this field, and she didn't know which field she was going. She was just hoping whoever field she went into, that she would find grace there, and from the owner of the field to be able to glean it. Okay, so that's a really important point that I wanted to stress there. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, I love this. I don't know about you guys, but I got excited when I saw this. Her hap, H-A-P, was too light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And, you know, I don't know about you, but there's, you know, many times where things happen, you think, oh, it's a coincidence. You know, it's not a coincidence that you gals came here tonight and joined us. It's not a coincidence. God's hand is in everything we do. Everything we do. And, you know, it was also, I loved it too, when Tatiana, when she was saying, You know, she was going to go down to Cal State LA, and she, you know, wanted to get out of this town, and she wanted to get out of here, and she wanted to go to college, and, you know, I just couldn't wait to get out of here, and, you know, and all that. And then, you know, and then she says, well, you know, she talked to Pastor, you know. Well, you know, it's like, well, Ruth talked to Naomi, you know. And anyway, but, and she also talked to Boaz, but anyway, Tati talks to Pastor, and Pastor says, Tati, you know, that's not a good idea. You know, I don't think that's a good idea. So she goes to Fresno State, and it just happened that she went to the black, what is it, the African American, what was it? African American booth, and she just happened to talk to this lady that's telling her about Cal State, you know, L.A., and saying, oh, I know two people have gone down there. They were so unhappy they were out of there. You know what? It's it. You know what? Tati, that could have happened to Tati if she had not asked a pastor, because she could have gone down there, time, money, wasted. And don't forget that Chilean and who was the other son of Naomi and Elimelech, their names were wasted, and what was the other name? Mahlon. And their names are wasted, okay? That's the name that means, wasted. So it's important to do, you know, to be in the will of God, okay? And to ask and submit to the elders. Submit. We need to submit to the elders of the church. Okay, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light upon the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Okay, so now, then let's skip to verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth. Okay, so she meets. Okay, hold on. Let's go back to 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? You know, it's like Christ, he's going, you know, I care about this person. I want to know, you know, it's like he knows everything about us, okay? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, and that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Here." Okay, so this is when Boaz starts talking to Ruth. Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And how many times has Pastor told us, you know what, you need to be in the house of God, you need to have your church, your church, my church, it's my church, my church, it's my church. And it's like the evangelists on TV, they are not your pastors. They are not your pastors. They do not pastor you. It's a one-on-one experience with your pastor. We have to be under a covering. Okay. And he said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young man that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger? Okay, I'm just going to read for you real quick in this, in the book that Pastor has given some of us to read. And it was very eye-opening. It says, Ruth's history, thus far at least, in that everyone who comes to Christ seeking mercy and grace through him, for what is given us in the book of Ruth is not so much the story of an individual who found grace as it is the story of God's dealings with the stranger of the Gentiles who believe the word of his grace, because we are the Gentiles. We are not Israelites from the, you know, but we are grafted in, okay, as Gentiles, okay, and we are known as strangers, okay. And so, as it is the story of God's dealings with a stranger of the Gentiles who believe the word of his grace and who came to trust under his wings, and since God is no respecter of persons but extends the same mercies to all who seek him in faith, it must needs follow that the story of the repentant of one repentant and believing sinner is, in its main features, the story of all. Okay, and what set Ruth's feet in motion to seek the Lord God of Israel was first, excuse me, let me skip down here. So we believe it is the case with many of those who come to Christ that it is a sense of great need, great distress of mind, great distress of mind, great misery, vague, indefinable oppression, rather than the distinct sense of sin that awakens the first impulse to trust in Him. What he's basically saying is many times it's when we're in stress, when we're in hardship, when we're having a tough time, is when we seek the Lord. Many, many times. It isn't because we know we're sinners. It isn't the sin that brings, it's because we're in need, just as Naomi was in need, because they were in need and they were seeking bread. Now, we know that's also the word of God, but at that time, you know, there was also bread. They knew that there was a harvest. They knew that God, it says that God was attending or visiting his people. He was attending. It also says he was attending to his people. And so that's what, you know, many times, you know, when, you know, and Allie has even shared with me too that, you know, in her time of need and stress, you know, she cried out to the Lord. And, you know, and then, you know, here she is, you know, praise God. And I thank God for that, because, you know, God's eternal purpose is always fulfilled. Praise God. Praise God. So anyway, let's go back to, let me go back here to the word, and where did I end up at? I'm not sure. 10. Okay. So 10. So then she began to bow down to Boaz and asked, "Why have, you know, I found grace in your sight, seeing I'm a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It has fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come into the people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense or repay thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." So as we come to Christ as Gentiles, when we step in, and, you know, God is going to repay us, he is also going to reward. There's a great reward for serving the Lord, staying in the house of God, being under a ministry, being under a pastor and a bishop and all that. It's so very important, because our reward is going to be great. We need to be faithful and steadfast and all those things that that Ruth was also. And then she began to see that she could really, truly trust in the God of Naomi, and which is now her God. Okay, praise God. And then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens." She knew she was different. She was a stranger. That's where the Gentiles, we are. Okay. And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. So therefore she began to eat, and she was satisfied. As we also eat of the word of God, we need to be taught the word of God. We need to read, but we also need to be taught. And so it's so important. And when you are, I don't know about you, but I love it. And you're so satisfied when you're filled up and your joy is bursting over, because the Lord has revealed something to you and showed you how much he loves you and cares about you. And that's what was happening with Ruth. So let's skip down to verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Okay. So let's go back to, yeah, okay, 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. In other words, they're saying, take those things that you just reap, all that big bundle, and just throw it down. You know, just throw it down and let her come and get it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So she gleaned in the field even until evening and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? It's like, what happened to you? Whoa, look at all, what happened? Naomi's knows that this is not normal. You know, it's out of normal. This is not a normal gleaning. She had favor, and that's what the Lord does for us too, praise God, so that we can be satisfied. She's going, where have you been today? You know, and blessed be the he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Because, see, really, she, you know, the living and the dead is also, it's like a type, like, you know, before, you know, we were dead in Christ, but he quickened us to be alive. But, you know, and same with Naomi, with Ruth, because she was a Moabitess. She was dead, other gods, all that. So, you know, she's saying that God has been merciful to her. And let's go to, okay, so she, 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, he said unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. And this reminded me of Tatiana, because you know what? It's like she was going down there to L.A. She was going to play. It was like, you know what? And that was not where God wanted her to go. And she would have been out there, you know, she would have, and so basically, and Pastor was saying, no, Tati, you need to be in the house of God here. You need to be here, because right now God is working on you, he's calling you, and you need to be here, and you need to be in the house of God. And that's basically what Boaz is saying. Don't go in another field. Stay in my field only, with my maidens, with my reapers, with the men that reap there, and you stay close by them. I love that. Praise God. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and at end of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So praise God. I thank God for that. And I just want to read again from this book in a little part here too, that it says, neglect of the house of God causes the withdrawal of the rain of God's blessing. So when we are not in the house of God, and there's spiritual, it says spiritual poverty and leanness, lack of conversion of sinners, and weakness and dissension among the saints. So it's not a good thing. And it also says here, particularly it is important that there should be a congregation of the Lord according to the heavenly pattern of the New Testament church, into which the young converts, those precious babes, can be immediately brought to receive protection, oversight, suitable companionship, and instruction in the right ways of the Lord. So as, you know, and just with the youth, you know, group that's starting too, because, you know, they're getting instruction, they're being, you know, shown things of the Lord, and also there's protection. You know, Tatiana could have gone down there, you know what, and been out of the will of God, And then is there the protection there? The protection is in the house of God and under the hand of God. And also, the reception given to Ruth, the stranger, by God, or excuse me, the reception given to Ruth, the stranger, by this company of true Israelites must have made a wonderful impression upon her. Oh, that such might be the experience of every stranger who is attracted to our meeting places by the wonderful message that we preach. For we preach grace for free bestowal of God's best upon those who have deserved his worst. And so also, what does that give the outsiders the right to expect? How far are their expectations met when they come among us? How much of the grace which we loudly proclaim with our lips do they find in our conduct? Is our manner of life such as becometh the gospel of Christ? And I love that because, you know, as Ruth went into those fields, she was comfortable. She felt welcomed, and that's why we always welcome those here. We want them to feel at home and welcomed. You know, we want them to feel a part, you know, a part of us. So, praise God. So I think, praise God, I just want to go back to the hap. Many of us have hap happen and know that God's divine providence or God's care for us, that things took place as they did because of God's purpose and his will. And, you know, there's just like with Allie, I loved it because, you know, there was a Christmas party. Allie just happened to come to my house and praise God. And it was God. It was all God's will. It was all God's purpose. And I thank God because in this book of Ruth, it's really, truly a love story. And God willing, if I can, you know, next week I'll get into the kinsman redeemer, which is beautiful. It's a beautiful part of Ruth, and explain that and go into that a little bit deeper. And I just thank God for what he's doing for us. And I just thank him and praise him. And so let's just give the Lord a praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God, that was awesome. Praise God. Praise God, that's good to hear and to hear those scriptures being read and they having the understanding of those scriptures and being able to get into what those scriptures are talking about. And there's such a connection also to, like you were saying, the bride and Christ. And such connections also in the New Testaments, that those scriptures really go into. So we want to bring up Sister Millie to share a word. Amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a praise clap. Thank you for sharing that, sister.
Amen. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you, saints. That was awesome, Sister Joni. Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. That's awesome. It's just another example of the Lord and his will and his divine plan that he has for all of us. Praise God. And you know what? There isn't anything that we can do to work the works of God or to will anything because God is in charge of everything. He is the creator. He is the divine counselor and healer. And it's nice when he shows us, you know, that he extends his mercy and grace upon us and opens our eyes and gives us that light to see the will. And so we are to want what God wants. And that was beautiful on verse 10, where it says, and Ruth, where sister was, then she fell on her face. So when she found grace, and when that grace and mercy was extended upon her, praise God, she recognized, she acknowledged the will of God. She acknowledged, right, bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Like, who am I? Like that scripture, who am I that you are mindful of me? you know, that it would be accounted to me for righteousness. We are the sons of God. Like, who am I? Thank you, Father God, for extending your grace. That is how we are to come to the Father and to acknowledge Him in all things, you know, and even though we all have different walks and we all have a different relationship with the Lord. And it's just, it's only through His grace and through His mercy. And so when I think of all the scriptures that we've had in terms of praise the Lord, it's important to recognize why, right? People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. So we all have our own why and how the Lord brought us to Him. We all have our own personal experience and story as to how the Lord brought us to Him. He's always been there, but there was some event or something to where God's light and mercy was extended upon us and opened our eyes to recognize Him. So I like that she was humbled. She was, you know, made low. She's also being a light to her mother-in-law, who, you know, she was following her mother-in-law, but at the same time, that also, just look at the mercy when she came back to her mother-in-law and showed how good, you know, the Lord was and the favor that was bestowed upon her in this field that she's gleaning from, you know. So even her eyes and her faith and her God is more enlightened, because she's thinking, here we are, we're done, we're traveling down this road, we don't know what's going to become of us. I'm an old lady. In the previous scriptures that Tati talked about, we learned that she's thinking, I have nothing to give you. Why are you following this old woman? Why are you following me? I have nothing. I'm barren. I have no sons. Even if I were to have more children, would you wait for them to grow up and to, you know, you're like, what do I have to give? And that is the beautiful thing, because we are the same. It's like, what oblation do we have to offer God? Nothing. That's why God can work through us, because we are made low, because we are humbled, because we know that there is nothing in me that is good. I am blind. I am wretched. I am miserable. Unless you touch me, Lord, touch my darkness, my eyes of understanding. And we are to give God that reverence and respect. Sister talked about, just to tie in the respect, and how we are living in a day and in an age where there is no fear, not only for God, but for authority. And God is a representative of authority and justice, as we know that His dominion is an everlasting dominion and kingdom, right? Praise God. So it's just awesome. So in the natural, even recognizing authority, we know that in this church we have a covering, we have a pastor, we have a shepherd who is watching over the flock to lead us. It's accounted to him whether we hear or forbear, right? The word of God, as he is imparting the word of God to us, right? So it's accounted to him for righteousness just by speaking the word of God and extending that word and getting the word out. That is his charge, right? That's his charge. Let's stay focused. Stay focused, saints. We know, right, that in this house of God, right, we glorify, we recognize, we don't pass judgment. We are not a judge. We are not a judge, right? I am not to judge. I am not to look on the sin of someone else. I have my own walk, my own sin, my own things that are being revealed to me in this ministry. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, because God is with us to fight those battles. I've been battling, you know, yes, when we're weak, when we're sick, when we have compromised, you know, immune systems, we're in the world, we have to work, we have to labor, even though we're not of the world, those attacks, they come, right? They come fast and furious, you know, and it's important to, you know, I tend to get quiet but just by nature, I want to withdraw. I want to just focus, you know, I just want to just not be around a lot of people. I don't want to, you know, I just want to just get through it, get through the storm, buckle down, get through the storm, glorify God. We all have our own way in which we glorify God. Hallelujah. And I can see that he is, as he's extending his grace and mercy unto me, he's also like continuing to separate, you know, to separate. And just in the flesh, I wasn't invited to a family party that I was really upset about. It was my father's 80th birthday. And so I wasn't invited to this birthday party. I didn't even know that they were going to have a birthday party for my dad in San Diego. And so my sister tagged me on Facebook, right, after all of the events had happened, right? And so when I saw them at Facebook, I felt so hurt. I felt like, gosh, they didn't even tell me. I didn't even know. You know, I didn't even have an opportunity to turn it down. So in the flesh and the natural, I'm all upset because this is my father's 80th birthday. He's had, you know, several bouts with prostate cancer. He's overcome. He's broken a hip. I'm thinking he's not going to be around much longer. And here I was not invited. And I was just so upset and angry that why didn't I get invited? And then the enemy comes in because he's always bragged on you and you were the first to do this. You were the first to go to college. You were the first. So of course they didn't invite you. This is the enemy talking. Of course they didn't invite you because it wasn't meant for you to go. And I was just all this whole scenario in my mind. And it was like, no, rebuke that. The Lord showed me in the spiritual that now was the time. Look at the word that's coming forward in our church. Look at, we don't want to be drawn away. And there's nothing against having your family, right? But at the same time, God is separating. And as the word is coming forth, he's doing his work and he is separating us. And what came to me is that that's my natural father. Yes, that's my fleshly family. However, in the spiritual, you know, praise God. So I have victory. I was able to overcome that situation. And then all week, there's just been nothing but battles at work, you know? And so when I look at God showing me, even in the trials, in the midst of all these bad things going on, he's showing his purpose and his plan, and you just have to fight your way through. So I would like to kind of give that why when we've been talking about 106 and 107. Prior to that, we had Joshua, and be courageous, be very courageous, you know, for the Lord God. We are warriors. We are soldiers in the army of God, and whether we fight, whether we read or press in, we're still in the battle. So it's if we choose to fight or not is the question. So praise God. So Psalms, I just want to, it's just neat how the Lord is working through all of us and he's touching everyone in his own way, like just the youth and what he's doing and how he's raising up the youth and he's bringing them forward. And then, in each and every one of our lives, you know, God is God. He is a good God. And I love when Sister said that nothing happens by chance. It's by his divine plan and his nature. I'd like to go to just Psalm 107 real quickly. God is good. And you have to give up to get. And I had a responsibility. I was supposed to be watching my students at this district music performance. And I didn't go. I'm not going to be able to make it because I know that pastor is out. We are down, right? Pastor Andre is leading the charge, you know, and we all have to make sure that we're standing in the gap and that we don't go astray while pastor is out. This is a prime opportunity. I'm being attacked left and right. Each and every one of us are being attacked. And we have to, like, stand as a congregation, as Sister mentioned. We have to be tight. We have to stand because that's where the enemy likes to come in. And what does he do? He likes to separate the flock, right? This flock, right? So we all have to do our part to stay in the word and to fight the battle and to put on the whole armor of God and to stand, right? Let this light be in us to shine outwardly. So we need to be standing in the gap, interceding for not only pastor, but for Sister Letty and Pastor Andre, both of them just standing in the gap for their family, praying for a covering that God would continue to give us strength and to keep us close and to rebuke those things that are enmity that come into our minds. And I'm just kind of just sharing, you know, I have nothing to hide. When it comes to God, there's nothing to hide, right? You have to stand in the truth of where you are, and I'm standing in the truth of where I am, and I can see all these different attacks that are coming against my family, against my marriage, against my children, you know, so we have to stand, right? And I'm not fulfilling a worldly obligation because I'm here in the house of God. So that's a way that we fight back. Praise God. So in Psalm 107, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." That's why we praise God, not because he's going to bless us. That's like another benefit to praising God, right? We recognize authority. He is our healer. He is our provider. And we give him the glory due his name because he is God. That's why, because he's God. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so with belief. If we're redeemed, we believe it. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. So when they were wandering, right, we know the wilderness is not a desert. It's in our heart. It's in our mind. It's the enmity, the darkness, right? And the people of God, as they were passing through, as we know the story, we don't need to go there, and the children of Israel, they wandered in the wilderness because they wanted to do their own thing, serve their own gods, have all those things, but we can't have it that way. We have to honor and recognize God and to put away those things that hinder us, right? We can't have both. One foot in, like it's been mentioned, one foot in the world, one foot trying to glorify God. We feel like we're going to miss out. The youth are being gobbled up. The Lord is snatching our youth back. He's saying, no. That's what's going on. He's saying, touch not mine anointed. He's sparing the flock because of the covering on, over this church. The same mistakes that we made in our lives as adults and as parents of our children, the same bumps and lumps that we have had to go through, the Lord is sparing our children and our seed from going through those mistakes, right? I didn't have a shepherd, you know, coming up. I had to go through bumps and mistakes and different pitfalls and snares and traps and, you know, those things that beset us, right? But our children, our seed, it's evident, right? With the youth and Sister Tatiana, that she's being spared. She's not going to have to go through those things if, right, we repent, if we just go ahead and yield, right? There's a sweet spirit over the youth that they are yielding to the word of God. So that's just awesome. And he's raising up a people for his name, and that is what's going on. It's reinforcement right in, praise God. So it's just, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing. I thank you for your understanding, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing. And I ask that you would just give me a heart to want what you want, Lord, and to not get caught up in those things that come our way, Father God, in our daily life. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. So we give him praise because he is God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right? You have to know why you're praising him. Right? 107. Let's see, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, right? We know that we are a peculiar people. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Is that praiseworthy? Is that worth praising God for? Right? Him using the foolish things of the what to confound the wise and the natural. Why would he take this dust, clay man, right, and do something magnificent, place that treasure in us, right? Praise God. Let's see, and verse 10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, right? Yes, we're going to make mistakes. We're called. He doesn't just call us. You sin, you make a mistake, and then he calls you again. You're called, right? But a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. So when we do stumble, we are to not be quick to repent and to keep moving forward. Hallelujah. So when the enemy comes in and tries to trick us to make us feel like, well, am I saved? And why would God, you know, want me? I'm making mistakes. I'm messing up. And then I stop going to church and all those. No, right? We have to press in. Praise God. Press toward the mark of the high calling. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:6. Second Corinthians 4:6 reads, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Yes, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, right? So think it no strange thing when we have all these trials and tribulations. It's for our perfection. It's for and my perfection is not your perfection. And we go from glory to glory, right? Praise God, but we edify one another and exhort one another. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to skip down to praise the Lord. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, right? You fill in the dot, fill in the blank of all the afflictions and the tax that you receive on a daily, right? I have my own book, right? We learned about the book of wars, right? My book of wars and book of battle is different from your book of wars and battles, right? Praise God, but glory be to God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And sister touched that, praise God, through Ruth. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we know we're pressing forward. Praise God, because we want to arise in his likeness, in his image, as he's continuing to do his work in us. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 9, I'd like to go to just, I'm going to end with Isaiah 9. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. God is very good. Hallelujah. Isaiah. There it is. 9. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, 2. It reads, praise God. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, right? We know that shadow of death, but we fear no evil, like Psalms 23 says, because God is with us. Upon them that hath the light shined. Praise God. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Okay? For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle, praise God, of the warrior, I'd like to emphasize every single battle that we go through, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, right? Yeah. Praise God. And garments rolled in blood. So all the battles that we go through, right? We know the tricks of the enemies, right? It's confused noise. I think of those battles where, you know, I had PG&E and there was a gas leak. I mean, all in one day, the lockdown drill, you know, police activity in the neighborhood. They're afraid that, you know, they're going to jump over the fence as they're serving this search warrant. I mean, that was all in the same day. Gas leak, you know, the custodian, I'm telling him to move. I'm the leader of the site. I'm saying, we need to do this. We need to call CWA and get the child welfare attendants on board. And then my confusion and noise of my head custodian is saying, no, we're fine. We don't need to go on lockdown. You know, so I'm looking at all these things that could possibly go on in the, like in an hour. I walked onto campus and that's what I was hit with, that noise and confusion and chaos, right? And you're pressing in and you have to get quiet and you have to get still and you have to be sound and you can't let all the confusion and everyone being crazy affect you. You have to say, no, this is what we're doing, right? Praise God. So when I read that scripture, leapt out at me. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, right? It's a battle. It's a bloody battle. Praise God. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Praise God. So are you a warrior tonight? Are you in the army? Are you fighting? Are we putting on our armor? It's not pretty, right? But we know that the scriptures tell us that the battle is not our battle. It belongs to the Lord. So it's whether we choose to press in. Praise God. Praise God. He is a good God. And I know that the good things, the good works that God is doing through us, because he's using us, his people, we are the hands and the feet and the arms of God, right? Extending, right? Showing God's love out in the community and our day to day. It's not just in church, you know, this is a house of mourning, right? When we come here, this is where, right, we're coming to regroup, to be regenerated, to be refueled, and to go out, right? And to be that light, right? And oftentimes, you know, we come in and we're beat up because we're warriors, right? It's a bloody battle. It's not pretty. And, you know, you come in and you're heavy. You know, come in all ye that are weary laden, right? And I shall give you rest. You feel that heaviness that comes on you, right? And you're trying to press in. You're tired. Your flesh, everything is aching and paining. And you're feeling like you're getting sick. You know, it's not pretty. And it's not, we should expect, right? We want everything to be comfortable, but God doesn't work through what we want, how we want it to look, right? It's because he's in control. So it's just so awesome. It's so awesome what he's doing. And I thank him. And I've learned to say, Father God, I thank you for all of the growth opportunities that you are setting before me. Thank you for, so all those trials, right? Turn it into a praise, right? Everything can be praise, right? But God's mercy in that scripture we're reading, but his mercy. So thank you. These are growth, perfection opportunities that he's providing us. So are we going to murmur, complain, get upset? Or are we just going to continue to walk forward, move forward in him and know that he's worked it out on the other side? We just have to go through it. He's already worked it out. So God, we give you glory. We give you praise. Give the Lord a praise, saints. Father God, we thank you for all that you are doing, Lord God. We stand upon your word, O Lord Jesus. We give you praise, Father God, not because of what you're going to do for us. We give you praise because you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, because your word is an everlasting word. Your word, Father God, is fuel, Lord God. Your word, Father God, is working in us, O Lord God, to do your will, O Lord God. We will raise our swords and we will fight this battle, Father God, because it belongs unto you, O Lord God. We will stand in the gap, O Lord God, and push the enemy back. We will proclaim your victory, O Lord God. And we thank you for all that you are doing, O Lord Jesus. Continue to cast down that darkness and enmity that tries to come into our minds, O Lord God. We claim healing, O Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We claim the blood of your Son, Jesus, God. We thank you, Lord God, and we give you praise and honor and glory to your name, because you are God, because you are King, because you are Lord. You are our provider. Your banner over us is love. Jehovah Nissi is your banner. The love, Father God, that is shed abroad, O Lord God, to raise us up to be warriors, Father God, to move forward, Lord Jesus, to not look back, Lord God, to raise up. You are raising up a people to serve you, Lord God. And we thank you for that separation, and we give you honor, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you.